Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engaged to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Brett, I got Kyle, and we have another very special sister guest. We have Emily Ganico. Welcome to the show, Emily.
Good morning.
So we normally do with our first time guests, we ask them a question. What has God been highlighting to you recently? So Emily, what's God been showing you?
I would say recently, God's been really kind of stirring my heart to be more intentional about pouring into my kids. And I have two little girls. They're 7 and 6 now. But back in 2022, so a couple years ago, we decided to pursue this journey of homeschooling.
Whoa.
I know. I know. A lot of parents are like,
word.
And it was definitely, there was a lot of resistance, especially from my side. My husband, Rob, he was more on board. I had a lot of hesitations and questions and, you know, doubts. But yeah, he's been really stirring our heart to pour into kids that way. So that was one of the biggest decisions we've made recently with that. But yeah, just kind of, you know, God showing me, what does it look like to pour into your kids more, to really have that heart to heart? And, you know, what does that look like? Yeah.
I heard it's really cool too, because you found a gym that helps you out with that too.
We love our gym. We tell everyone about our gym, but yes, it's,
I mean, you could talk a little bit about it too. You can give a plug.
Yeah. It's a really nice, gym, total upgrade from our usual 24-hour fitness that we used to go to. But it was nice because they have childcare. And that was a game changer for us. We could go to the gym.
But not just childcare, right? It's like,
yeah, I thought they were just going to, you know, watch your kids, keep them busy for a little bit. Oh, no, they have Spanish teachers that come in and teach them Spanish. And, yeah, the girls come out one day. They're like, mariposa, mama, mariposa. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. But, yeah, they have Spanish teachers. They have rock climbing classes, obstacle courses. Wow. Just really fun. And the staff are all amazing there. So we've been really blessed. And the kids like it, too. So it's been really nice to have that. But, yeah, just to work out again with Rob. That I really miss doing that, too. So, yeah, it's a very nice combo of our health, kids' health. We're in a better mood to, you know, do homeschool after that. So it's been really nice for our family.
How about your kids? Do they like homeschool?
They love homeschool. Every year we check in with them.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Taya, hey, Kina, like, do you guys want to go to real school? Or they're like, no, mama. We love homeschool.
They're smart kids. They see the benefits of it.
They don't have to wake up at, you know, early in the morning like the rest of their friends, and they don't have to go to school every single day for, you know, X amount of hours. They, you know, just kind of go with the flow. And some days they have a rough morning. Me and Rob have been really intentional about, like, okay, it's not about just the, okay, like, boom, 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 get this done at this time. Like, okay, just kind of sensing like, all right, maybe it's time to close the books right now and focus on something else. So there's been a lot of beautiful moments through that too. Like, whether it's they're having a rough time or mommy and daddy needs a break and we need it to close the books. We've been learning a lot about that too. So
I think that's a good lead into what we're talking about today. You know, just the intentionality of you and leading your kids, leading them both educationally, but also spiritually. And, you know, this past Sunday, I got the privilege to be able to talk about, you know, a topic that's very close to my heart, which is walking together as a multi-generational family. And I think what you're doing with your kids and being intentional about, you know, these things, and even just how you're teaching them, right? Like you said, sometimes it's like if they're having a bad day or something, it's not just get it done with the focus on the schoolwork, which it's there, but it's also, you know, helping them to walk, you know, with emotional integrity and what being healthy spiritually, being healthy emotionally, being healthy in all of those areas, and not just get the work done, right? And I think the way that you're doing that is, it's really cool, and it's really a picture of what we're trying to do with our church in terms of walking together. And, you know, we took the emotionally healthy relationships class, and we have these types of things, but we're trying to walk together in a different way than the world walks together.
I have a good example of that too, where, you know, I was at home with the, you know, both girls taking turns with homeschooling, and I was really tired. I was getting frustrated. You know, my volume is starting to get a little bit more louder and more frustrated with the girls. And, you know, and I just sensed that they were starting to shut down. Like, they were just, like, kind of bummed that I'm yelling at them now, not understanding whatever I was trying to teach them. And then I got to the point where, like, wow, like, I am a horrible teacher right now. This is not fun. And so I closed the book, and I had both girls come, and I'm like, mommy is so sorry. And I had to apologize to the girls. I'm like, I think mommy needs a break, and can you please forgive me? And, you know, just in our household, me and Rob were very quick and good about apologizing for stuff that we do. And thinking back, like, my parents never apologized to me. I don't know about yours, but a lot of my friends too, they said, oh yeah, no, I've never heard my parents say sorry to me, even if they were wrong. So for me, I feel like even just that, for my kids to know, oh, mommy and daddy aren't, you know, perfect. They make mistakes too, and they need forgiveness, you know, and just like little things like that to apologize is a huge generational thing too for me, because I've never heard it from my parents. But I wanted to make sure that that was a normal thing for our family. Right. So, yeah, those special like teaching moments, just to take those moments and like, yeah, teach both me and my kids.
You know, like you said, that aspect of forgiveness and asking for forgiveness, especially from parent to child, that's unique, right? And I think that's one of the things that we're talking about in terms of becoming a city on a hill, that people are going to notice that's different, right? So other kids' families, they're going to see, like, what's different about the Gonicos? Like, their parents say they're sorry and they ask for forgiveness? Like, that's weird. Why do they do that? But their relationship is so different than our relationship with our kids. I want what they have, right? And so that's, to me, that's just a really a picture of what City on a Hill looks like and how you guys are taking what you've learned, how Jesus forgives us, how the Lord forgives us, and you're taking that to your kids. And I think that's beautiful. I'm throwing it to Kyle because he told me that when I speak, I don't have to be the leader anymore.
So, Damon.
Okay, maybe I'm going to regret this.
I think this topic is huge. I mean, just on where we could go and where we could cover, but I don't know why. While you were just sharing, Emily, I was just thinking of church. Like, how does that get represented? And thinking of the especially the children's ministry, and you see in there, there's a lot of helpers that are moms that are the, you know, moms of current kids in there, but then there's a lot of older parents, like moms and dads, so still more like grandparent age in their teaching as well. And it's like, well, this is really cool that the little kids in our class, in our church, they don't get to just get instruction from parents or their parents' age adults. They get the wisdom and the insight and the kind of tutelage from all the a generation above that as well. And I think that's really cool. I loved it when my kids were in there, when some of the older teachers would come up and share insights that they saw or things that reminded them of their kids when they were young or this and that. And it's like, oh, it's really cool to be able to see our church operate that way.
Absolutely. I have a really cool story related to that, because there was one time where I was really stressed out from work regarding coworkers and, you know, bullying stuff, right? And it was putting me down so bad that Auntie Dale prayed for me over the phone. So I was on the phone and my two little girls are just running around. And after receiving the prayer, I hung up, and my older one, Taya, comes up to me and she goes, "Mommy, are you okay?" And she, you know, she's just a very like emotional girl. So she's just kind of rubbing my arm and like making sure I'm okay. "Oh yeah, mommy's okay. Mommy's fine." You know, and there's just a little, you know, mean girl at work and mommy's just a little bit sad. That's all, but I'm okay. And then my little one, Kina, she's always kind of bouncing around everywhere. So I didn't think she was listening. Then she comes up to me. She goes, "Mama, what's her name?" So I'm like, dang. Oh, nice. But
I got your back, Mom. I got your back. Yeah.
So she surprised me, actually, because shortly after that, she pulls up a chair next to the little Alexa device that we have. She's like, "Mommy, sit here. Alexa, play Waymaker." And that's her favorite worship song.
Nice.
Waymaker, because Mommy, Jesus wants to talk to you. close your eyes, sit here. I'm like, oh, okay, yes, ma'am.
Wow.
So that was already kind of a surprise. But then she starts to pray for me, and she's never, ever initiated a prayer that I've seen. So that was really touching. And it was cute at first, like, oh, you know, Jesus be with mommy. And then what shocked me was then she starts praying for my mean girl, the enemy. And I'm like, oh, ooh, like, I never taught you how to pray for your enemies. Like, where did you learn that? And I cannot help but think it's from these Sunday schools, the classes, and the teachers that are pouring into her, because I never taught her that. So seeing stuff like that at home, like, reflect what she's, you know, learning and absorbing here at church, really blessed my heart. I'm like, wow, like, that's so awesome. So yeah, I'm very blessed to have our children's ministry and all the people that help and lead it.
Yeah, I think, you know, Brett's a level up from there. So Brett, do you have any insights or just ways that you see that the different generations interacting?
Yeah, I think we're that's a emphasis that Steph, Jerry, we all want to have a focus on, and it start at a young age. So when we do kids' church, right? It's all of the kids. Doesn't matter if you're in high school or you're all the way down in the den. And so I think it's just understanding that when we're all together, it's a bigger picture of God's family and how we all can support and love each other and learn from each other. And so those times are always fun, and it's cool to hear these stories of the kids taking whatever we're teaching, or just them understanding God in their own ways and it playing out outside of church.
We're having a staring contest. I'm waiting to see who's going to break first, and I broke. Damon, I thought you were going to say something. I'm just messing with Damon a little bit today.
Everyone thought that the podcast was broken.
How about for you, Damon? Like, what ways do you see that in our church? Maybe even what ways do you see that, but what ways do you envision that shifting, or how that could shift and the impact that could have on us, really operating more as a multi-generational family?
I mean, I think that's been something that we even started with, right? When we first started Catalyst, Pastor Barry and the staff and the leaders wanted to have a service where everybody was together, you know, and I think that that's something that's very unique, right? There's not a lot of churches that have that, you know. I think it's even unique that we have our kids in service every Sunday to start the worship service, right? That a lot of churches out there, the kids go directly to their classes or go directly to their programs, and it's split right from the beginning. And I think even just having the kids in there where the parents have an opportunity to model what it looks like to be in a worship service, what it looks like to worship, I think that is such a unique opportunity that we have that I would encourage all the parents to take advantage of just when you are in there with your kids, they're watching you. They're watching what you do. If you're engaged, they're going to want to be engaged too. They're going to see how you worship, how you respond. When we're in multi-gen service, they're going to watch, are you paying attention to what the speaker's talking about? This is an opportunity for us to model our faith for our kids and really make it so that our ceiling is their floor, right? And so I think that's been one of the cool things for me in experiencing with my own kids, is seeing how much further along they are in their faith journey than I was at their age. You know, I think for me, a lot of what was modeled was like kind of a head knowledge type version of faith, but then they're getting more experiential knowledge of being able to experience the Lord, hearing his voice, those types of things. It's like, I didn't learn that until way later in life. How that this is just really exciting to me that they're able to hear God's voice very clearly. And, you know, I shared this yesterday, like, for Riley to come up to me and tell me that she heard God tell her to stop watching so much YouTube and to listen to worship music instead. I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, she's not just hearing it from me telling her, hey, stop watching so much YouTube or whatever, but she's hearing it from the Lord and her wanting to take steps to actually do that. It's like, okay, that's so super cool. You know, so I think for us, we have these opportunities, and, you know, as a church, we want to create these opportunities. And so you know, my encouragement to the parents out there that are listening is take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to you and model what it looks like to your kids, because they're watching, they're paying attention, you know. And yeah, I think that's been super something that I've been really excited about since we started, that this is an opportunity for us as a church to be a little bit different than other churches, but then to also be able to raise up the next generation to, you know, be able to hear from the Lord, be able to have a worship experience where they're not feeling like, oh, I got to be quiet in here. Not that we want to be irreverent, but it's not just, I got to stay in my space. I can't lift my hands up, but they get to actually experience people worshiping, you know, with their whole hearts. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Just a image that I thought about, you know, multi-generational church. One of my favorite moments was when we were at a church and a pastor was speaking right after his sermon or during his sermon, or sorry, before his sermon, the worship team is playing, and he invited the children to come up, and, you know, some are on stage, some are in front of the stage, but each kid is like doing their own thing. Some people are drawing, some people are writing, some kids are dancing and waving a flag or whatever it is. And I thought that was really cute to give them the freedom to just express whatever the Spirit was leading them into. But then it started getting really powerful, because after he invites some of the children to share what they had received from the Lord during that time. Mm-hmm. And like kids age, I want to say like 5 to 13, started sharing their drawing or their, you know, what they received or a vision that they had. And it was really powerful, because some of them would point to like a congregation of hundreds of people. This picture is for you.
Mm. Wow.
This picture is for that lady over there, for that guy. And then these kids started sharing these like cute little pictures that they had drawn. And you just think it's like a sweet thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then they go over to give this drawing to this, you know, adult. And you see the adults just bawl their eyes out. They're crying. And then they start sharing why that was so significant for them. And the things that were being shared, it left the whole congregation in tears. Mm-hmm. And it was so powerful to see God move in that way through kids. Mm-hmm. It was just this cool image that I remember, because growing up in church, I never had that experience or opportunity, right? So yeah, when you give the kids space to do that, I think beautiful things come out of it, right? So kids are blessing older people. The older people are, you know, imparting wisdom on the younger, and just like this multi-generational like family feel was so powerful to me. And I just remembered one time, Kyle, you had invited some of our Catalyst kids to kind of start practicing praying for other people. Mm-hmm. And Taya was my older one, was one of them that kind of went up to the front.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that was so cool for me, because this is the first time ever that Taya would go up to the front to pray over somebody or pray over anybody besides family. And I didn't know how it would go. And she was probably around 6 years, maybe five or six years old at the time. And so I just kind of prepped her, hey, we're going to, you know, try to bless someone. Let's ask Jesus, you know, someone to highlight. And we're up there, and there's already multiple people getting prayed over by the prayer team. Mm-hmm. And I ask her, like, hey, did God highlight anyone? And she nods. And she points to this lady up front I've never seen before in church. I'm like, oh, okay. All right, let's go up to her. And so we find a good timing to just kind of interrupt and be like, hey, you know, my daughter wants to share something with you. Is that okay? And before she shared, she kind of told me, just so I can make sure that it was appropriate. Yeah, right. Do you want to tell mommy first before you share with her? And she nods yes. So she says, I want to tell her that Jesus has her heart. Mm. And I'm like, oh, that's cute. You know, I didn't think of it much. So she shares that with this lady, and we just say, oh, that's it. You know, she just wants to share that Jesus has your heart. And the lady just smiled, and she said, thank you, right? And so I didn't really think of it much until afterwards. Mm. It was like a potluck, you know, after church, and a church member comes up to me. She goes, Emily, did your daughter pray for my friend? I'm like, oh, yeah, I think so. And she goes, yeah, that was her first time coming to Catalyst Church. I had brought her this morning, and she was going through a bunch of stuff, and she kept saying in the car in tears, I don't know where my heart is. I don't know where my heart is. And so when your daughter told her that Jesus has her heart, she started crying to me. And I'm like, I was just so touched by that because, yeah, like kids just hear from the Lord all the time. And, you know, us as adults were like surprised, like, whoa, God gave you that or God did, right, you know.
Right.
But it's normal for them. They're like, yeah, of course.
I know. And our dumb adult minds, we discount it or we just like just blow past it, right? And yeah.
So, yeah, just appreciate all the, you know, opportunities and space that we as a church give the kids to step into that.
I mean, it makes me think of yesterday's service. I thought one of the most powerful parts yesterday, not to discount your speaking, Damon, but it was the thought and the action step at the end of doing communion cross-generationally. I thought that was, I'm like, oh, we've never done something like this. And I thought people were going to be hesitant, and I thought it was going to be, so he asked people, we were doing communion, but he asked people, there was a couple steps, but I think the main one people acted on was to take communion with somebody in a different generation, up or down. And I thought people were going to be more hesitant. I thought it would be like, well, some people will, but it might be just seeing people go in their normal family circles. But then watching it, I was like, I've got to see some, I would say 60-year-olds and 30-year-olds and some 20-year-olds and some 40-year-olds and just seeing that. And actually some of it was like pretty extended time too. It wasn't like, oh, they're just doing a quick prayer and then they're done. It was like, oh, people are actually enjoying this. And I think they were feeling the value of stepping into that.
Yeah, I felt like that was something that I really wanted to do as a part of this service, was to kind of give people an action step and, you know, something to be intentional about and saying, hey, if we're going to be a multi-generational family that's walking together, we can't just keep doing things the way that we've always done. There might be times where we need to be intentional about, you know, being a little bit uncomfortable and stepping out of our comfort zone and doing that. So I really wanted to give people an opportunity just to say, like, here's an activity. Here's an opportunity for you to take communion with someone that you might not normally even talk to. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because I was talking to someone that's probably closer to my age. And then someone else that's a little bit older came up and said, can I steal this person? I want to take communion with them. I was like,
nice.
Okay, cool. Like, that's totally cool. And then the first thing, what's your name again? Aww. I was like, nice. Okay, that's even better. Like, yeah. It's really cool, right? It's like people that don't even know each other necessarily are stepping out and meeting someone new and saying, hey, the blood of Jesus is what connects us. Like, let's walk together in this. And then they ended up praying and talking for maybe 10 minutes. And I was like, oh, that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I felt really good about that opportunity to looking around, seeing people aren't just taking communion with the people they normally take it with, but they were kind of walking around the room even to find someone that's not in the same generation as them. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I thought we could go a little bit into the idea that the enemy, you know, purposefully tries to subvert family and tries to make it difficult. You were, Emily, you were earlier saying, I've never seen my, or I've never felt my parents apologize, or I've never experienced that, right? And so I thought maybe we could all just kind of share some insight, because this doesn't necessarily have to do with us having our own kids, but it's like what types of examples were passed down to us? And then in the church setting, as this multi-general thing, like, multi-generational thing, then how are some of those things then inhibiting us from enacting this in a church family, not just in our own nuclear family? So I thought it could be helpful for our listeners to hear some of our own, maybe say baggage, but I think it's some of it's just, you know, different generations behave differently and had different expectations, and hopefully in ours we're able to shift things a little bit differently. But yeah, I thought maybe you guys could start. So, Brad, we haven't heard from you for a little while, so.
I think this year, maybe a little over this year, there's been a lot of recognition on my part in terms of the way I feel like my parents decided to do their best in raising my brother and I, and just feeling very fortunate in some of those ways. The best way I could describe it is, I think a lot of it, they were taking some big swings and in for themselves, trying to do what they felt like God was leading them in, because they weren't raised in a Christian household in that way. And so some of it is like them, you know, living by trial and error. Mm-hmm. And so some of those swings, I'm sure they felt were successes and home runs, and other ones, it's like, okay, I think we missed on that. But at a young age, I know my, or maybe not that young, but around high school age, I remember my dad telling me how there were certain decisions that he made because he wanted to change the trajectory for my brother and I. And when you first hear that, you're like, okay, that it sounds like you're just stating the obvious. Like, of course you would want to do that. But as I've gotten older, you kind of lose sight of what you don't know is what you don't know until you like pursue it. And so for my dad to make some of those changes was like, oh, it's actually like a very intentional and active choice that he had to make. And so one of them was like, explicitly and verbally telling us that he loves us. He's like, I knew my dad loved me, but I never heard it. And so he was like, I want you guys to know it, but also to hear it from me as your father, and knowing that, you know, that also extends to an example of your relationship with Father God. And so even in something small like that, it's like, oh, there are active and intentional choices that can change the trajectory of the people younger than you or with less experience. And so in this past year, I think I've noticed that amongst my age group and my friends and people around us. And so I've also been trying to encourage them in the ways that they have been making decisions, and exhorting them and telling them that like, this is going to change the trajectory, like moving forward too, for the people that you come in contact with, for your future kids or the youth that you're involved with. Like, these things that may seem insignificant actually do make a difference, and it helps with this multi-generational family setting. And so for me, I think not baggage, but something that I'm worried about is actually passing down or my anxiety and how kind of I'm wired to a certain degree can either be passed down, or the ways that that affects even like the youth that I'm teaching or the kids. And so I'm trying to be mindful in me being very vulnerable and honest, and trying to be an example of how I'm handling things, so that for them, the ways that they see it or handle it, it's not something that they've like never heard of or never seen, but it could be a way for them to, oh, like if I deal with a situation like that, this is one way that I can handle it. Or, oh, I feel free to share this and talk about this. I don't have to be ashamed of this. Like, I can be honest about some of these things. And so, yeah, oftentimes I don't feel like I know what I'm doing. I'm just trying to do my best to set a good example when it comes to that specifically.
Yeah, I think one word you shared there, I think, is huge for us as a church and the Big C Church in general, is transparency. Because I think the generation before wasn't necessarily good at that. You just don't talk about certain things, or you kind of, it's almost a little bit of shame, and like you just, no, that's just stuff that stays kind of hidden. But I think the more transparent we're able to be, and the younger the kids are that are able to see that, it's going to help free them and help them on a different trajectory, like you were sharing.
I was just thinking about what Damon shared earlier about how our ceiling is their foundation. Mm-hmm. And I've heard Pastor Barry say the same thing too in a retreat once. And it really makes sense because, you know, as, you know, growing up, you may have had amazing parents and, mm-hmm. you know, you take the things that you loved, and there's certain things that maybe they didn't do so well in. And you just kind of build your own foundation for your family to grow on. And just trying to think of those things, and what is important in your family? How do you want to raise your kids? And what is that foundation that you're laying down? And one thing that kind of popped in my mind was just when me and Rob got married, you know, when we had kids, we promised like, hey, let's keep date night a thing. And, you know, just pouring into each other was one of the important things that we could do so we could raise a beautiful family. And so even in the midst of our busyness, we try to find at least once a month a date night. And, you know, so we were doing this for a while. You know, we've been married for, oh gosh, 11, almost 12 years now. But, you know, we try to make this monthly date night a thing. And, you know, when we first joined our small group at Catalyst, we started finding out that some of the parents that we were doing life with hadn't had a date night in, like, not like weeks or months, like years. And I was so shocked. And I'm like, oh, no, you guys need a date night. And so one time me and Rob just decided, hey, like, bring the kids over. We're going to send the parents out on a date night. And nice. So here nice. Me and Rob are nice. Like 7 or 8 kids running around. But yeah, we sent our friends out on a date night. So, you know, just cherishing things like that, it really helps within the small group too, because I just love how we can, you know, grow together and learn from each other and, you know, just kind of value certain things together and live life together. And it's the best, right? Like small group, especially when you got kids involved, they get to grow up with each other. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch. So our small group has been together for a long time now. And I just love our group and just very blessed by that.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. David?
Yeah, for me, I feel like I've been blessed with being a part of a spiritual legacy, right? And I want to continue to pass that down to my kids. And I think that's one of the cool things about the story that I shared yesterday about my grandma, is that when I think of genealogies nowadays, it's like there's always someone that starts it, but then everybody else that's down the line is just continuing that process, right? And so, but in the genealogy, when you look at it, everybody is included, right? And so for some people, if you didn't come from a family of faith, you might be the first person. You might be the one that's initiating everything. If you have come from a family of faith, you might be somewhere in the middle. But what God's intent is for that faith to be passed down from generation to generation. So kind of like Emily was talking about let's raise our ceiling so that their foundation is higher, mm-hmm. right? And so I really feel like that's the direction that we're going as a church. And it's really exciting to me because I look around our church and we have so many people that are a little bit older mm-hmm. that have really strong faith. And so it's like the foundations that we are getting, the foundations that our kids are getting, they're going to be so much higher just because of the journeys and the lives that the people in our church have lived. And so like Emily was talking about earlier with the children's ministry, and you know, Kyle had mentioned that there's some of the grandparents' age people that are pouring into the kids in the children's ministry. It's like, that's awesome. They're helping to set that higher foundation mm-hmm. for the kids. And so as a church, we get to partner with all the parents. So it's not just the church's responsibility for the kids to be raised spiritually, but it's this partnership where we can supplement certain things, right? Like as a dad, I'm not a grandparent, so I don't have that level of experience. But if there's a grandparent that's helping out in children's ministry or helping out in one of those areas, or even just talking to my kids on a Sunday morning, that's supplementing something that I can't bring. Right. And so I think that's something that's really cool about thinking of church in terms of being a multi-generational family, is that there's certain things that other people can bring that I can't bring. And so my kids are just going to be that much more blessed because they're walking with some of these people that, you know, they don't get to see every day.
Or even aunties and uncles too, because it's sometimes they don't need, or some, I mean, there's some challenges with grandparent ages relating to kids, right? Because there's some different barriers there. So even aunties and uncles, just getting a different voice. That's why I appreciate Brett.
That I was just going to say, I appreciate Brett too.
Your voice in with our, because our kids are impacted by you right now. So hearing,
hopefully in a positive way.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it afterwards. But hearing similar, and it doesn't have to be exactly the way I say it or what I say, but it's the same theme or the same biblical concepts, but from a different voice. And even that you're a little younger than me, for them, I think it's like, oh, that they're even maybe more relatable to you. So I think even having, it doesn't have to be just the grandparent wisdom. I think that there's a unique thing with that. But then all the way down, like, yeah, I hope our church family knows the impact that the children's workers have. And I, mm-hmm. you know, it's amazing. They're only there for a short time and maybe help once a month, but there's little nuggets that get passed on to the kids in those different ways. And it's like, yeah, it's really special.
I think I gained a greater appreciation because before I started helping with the youth, I used to help, it used to be called Tot Lot, but I used to help with the young ones. And so, you know, most Sundays when I was a helper there, how much I was actually impacting or passing on, like, I don't know. I was just there to have a good time with them and make sure that the teacher didn't have to stress out if there was, you know, some kids that were struggling. But then it kind of came full circle because once I started helping out with middle school, that was the first age group that I helped out with when they were really young. And so then to see where they were now as teenagers, it was like, oh, everybody's hands and the investment, even if it was just one Sunday a month for however many years from, you know, before they're in kindergarten all the way up through our children's ministry, like everybody's hands has helped raise and mold and grow and steward this child's life. And then it was kind of like, whoa, I get to like now take it back up from when they were really little and now take it here when they're in middle school. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool to see that. And in certain ways, like be able to experience the fruit of all of that mm-hmm. until then. And so now being able to continue to do that with them as they're in middle school and high school, it's brought a greater level of, I think, encouragement to me, thankfulness for our helpers and teachers. And then just a cool picture to see that it does make a difference, mm-hmm. even though sometimes it feels like, okay, every year it's a new class or I'm still dealing with these 4-year-olds or 6-year-olds or whatever. By the time they're in magnetic or graduating, you see them and they're like, wow, they have grown so much. And to know that, you know, we are all a part of it, it's really cool.
I think that is one of the subtle ways that the enemy really gets at family is, well, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that important. Mm-hmm. Is it really making an impact? And then we either discount it or we don't really put the effort in. It's like, well, I'm just kind of checking off a box. I'm there just to help and facilitate, where you could have more impact than you think, but the enemy can really discourage and do that. And I think along with that, what you shared about your dad making specific choices, it's like it takes intentionality. Mm-hmm. And it takes sometimes those choices, or often the harder ones are the countercultural ones. Because like, well, what's the culture going to say? Well, that's a waste of your time, or that's a waste. Like, what's that going to do? Like, go play golf instead, or, you know, just do something for yourself. Why spend extra hours with your family or your kids? So that's in the nuclear sense. But then even with church, like, well, why volunteer for that? Or why pour into that age kid? It's like, it's not really that big of a deal. Like, you should go enrich yourself, which there's some value in that. And there's actually some need in that, but there needs to be more of that balance of, well, not just your own perspective. Like, let's take the bigger view of like, how can we actually all pour into each other? Wow. I was so good. I got a
drop
lot
the
of,
mic.
I got drop a lot of mic, headshakes. Like, I got nothing now. I don't know how much time we're at, but, okay, now at this segment of our podcast, since I'm in charge, I want to throw it to Damon, and I'm going to talk just a little bit to give you time to gather your thoughts. But I know I chatted with you last week, and you had a lot of material. You shared that yesterday when you were talking.
And all the stuff that I talked to you about last week didn't get included in that.
I know. Well, that's why I'm like, well, is there something? And I thought it actually was good, because I thought it would have been too cluttered and it wasn't meant for the way you went with your message. But is there something that still is there and that's stirring that maybe you want to just share, or at least get people to start thinking about in relation to maybe even like a future vision or a future step of what walking out multi-generational family is?
I think one of the things that I wanted to talk about that I didn't get a chance to talk about yesterday was this idea. And we kind of give little bit of like hints at it in the way that we've been talking, but mm-hmm. it's really that God wants to create a family that has a culture of honor mm-hmm. and honoring each other, whether it's honoring the little kids and saying, you know, we have this opportunity to help raise them up to be faith-filled believers, or honoring the people that came before us and saying, wow, they have a journey that of faith where they've encountered the Lord, they've heard his voice, they've lived out their faith. What can I glean from them? And just honoring each other. And I think one of the verses that comes to mind, or one of the stories that comes to mind, is, you know, when Jesus was in his hometown, right? They didn't honor him as the Messiah. They didn't honor him as God. And he wasn't able to do any miracles there, right? And so because they didn't honor him, they actually missed out on the blessing that everybody else that did honor him received. And so I think for us as a multi-generational church, as we honor each of the different generations and we raise up the value for each one, we can receive. And we're actually missing out if we don't honor them. So kind of like Emily was sharing earlier, like if that lady didn't honor Taya's word for her, or said, oh, this is a little kid. No, I don't need a word from you. Like, she would have missed out on the blessing that she heard where her heart was, right? And so do we do that regularly? Like, do we say, oh, it's just a little kid. They don't have any, or, you know? But if we raise up the value and we honor them, how much can we receive, right? And so I think that's one of the things that the Lord wants to do in our church is just raise up this culture of honor where we're honoring all of the generations and we're honoring each other. And we're recognizing that the Lord wants to bring us together, you know, and that was one of the things that I shared in the message yesterday. The enemy wants to separate us. He's all about separating, because if he knows if we're separated, then we're easier to attack, right? And so recognizing those areas that, okay, Jesus' blood is here to bring us together, whether it's bringing the little kids together, the adults, the grandmas and grandpas, all the generations. His blood is here to bring us all together so that we can walk together and we can protect each other, but we can also help each other in our journey of faith. And as we do that, as we honor each other, then really we're all going to receive. We're all going to receive the blessings from the Lord. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons that in the Ten Commandments, it specifically says, you know, honor your mother and father. And the interesting thing is I think a lot of times we think that's for little kids, right? It's like, honor your mother and father. We're talking to the little kids. But when Moses brought that down, he was talking to all of Israel, right? And so it wasn't just specifically that commandment was for the little kids. That commandment was for everybody, right? And so how do we as adults treat our parents? Are we giving them honor? You know, and then because if we don't give them honor, then that's the model that our kids are going to see. And so how can we expect them to honor us if we're not modeling that with our parents too, right? And so it's creating this culture of honor where we're honoring each other, we're recognizing the value that is there, and then really the Lord wants to pour out his blessings through that.
Sorry, I was just looking up the definition of honor and like, okay. So I had this thought while you were talking about honor. Like honor, it seems like it is, well, I mean, the one definition, it's high respect or a source of credit or distinction or a high public esteem. And so I see that, but then I was thinking, I'm like, well, isn't it also honoring to somebody to like call them forward, like call them upward? So sometimes I'm wondering, well, you guys can leave your thoughts on it, but I was thinking, well, it's kind of like the, like when you've done fruit of the spirit, right? Kindness, it has, there's different types of, like kindness is, oh, doing something really loving, but kindness is also telling them the truth, right? So is there an aspect of honor that's also like, no, I'm going to honor you because I see your potential. I see what's there and I'm going to actually call you to step into that. I'm going to call you forward and not just already honor like what you already are, but I want to honor you by like helping you become who you're meant to be. And that's like a form of honor. But I don't know. I just had that thought while you were sharing. Do you guys see that in or a difference in that?
I could see how that is a part of honor in terms of it's almost like there's an honor in the present or immediate. Mm. And then that honor to me is a little bit like it oftentimes comes with more that leads to like the long term. And so even like walking with different people, or like for example, me working with the youth, meeting with some of the guys in the youth, and part of it is not just for like them now, but it's because my heart is to see like where I feel like God wants to take them. And so some of the investment and the honor, I guess, in terms of this conversation is because, like when you said, when you see someone's potential, they're not necessarily going to reach it in that moment, but it's calling them to that so that they could get to that place. And so I think I would agree that sometimes the honor in the moment, especially when it's, you know, maybe like your parents or someone who is older than you, to be respectful and more of that type of honor, like you were saying, like in the moment. And so you're going to bless them or let them go first, or, you know, just different ways you could do it in that way. And then there's the way that you were explaining where it's like calling someone out. I see a lot of it when it comes to potential is, hey, I want to honor you by like pouring into you and investing in you so that it can take off or go somewhere greater where God wants it to be.
Emily, she's thinking about the word calling out, right? Sometimes you get that image like, oh, I'm going to call this person out. And it's kind of scary, like, oh, you're going to call me out.
Calling them forward, right?
And I know we do it in a loving way, but yeah, I think it's so much more effective if we can walk with them, whether that means through mentorship. Because I know a lot of people within Catalyst Church, too, gets mentored by amazing people. And my husband, Rob, has been one of them, where he got mentored by Pastor Sam. Mm-hmm. And he's had so many incredible moments with him. And even Pastor Barry, just like, you know, the things that they push them towards, like they see the potential and they call them out in a loving way, but also walk with them and listen to them and meet up with them every so often and just checks up on them. Just kind of walking through that together is more effective than just saying like, oh, hey, you should do that.
Yeah, for
and that's
sure.
It. So I was just kind of thinking about just walking together and what that looks like.
No, that's good. That was my intent. So I'm glad you actually clarified that. Because I think it's, otherwise you're just basically analyzing or just pointing out facts, right? Instead of, for me, it's honoring to point out your potential, but then help you to fulfill it in some way. Because we all have different roles in how to do that. Some are way more hands-on and long-term, and some are maybe shorter-lived. But yeah, definitely. I think that's the intent behind our church of walking as a multi-generational family. It's not just, we see what needs to be done, so somebody go do it. It's like, oh, no, we all have a role. And what is your role, and how do you step into that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sometimes, in terms of this term of honor, you know, sometimes like, especially with like little kids, right? Sometimes we might think of, oh, that's just some squirrely little kid, mm-hmm. right? And not that we're dishonoring, but it's just like, oh, that's who they are. Mm-hmm. But right, I think what you're talking about, Kyle, is we need to shift how we see them too, and to see like, oh, this is who they are now, but this is not who the Lord made them to be. They're still a kid right now. Mm-hmm. The Lord made them to be an adult. What does this person look like from the Lord's perspective as an adult, and how do we help them to get there, right? And so I think that's one of the things that the Lord might want to shift some of us are thinking of, how do we see the little kids? And it brings to mind a story of the first time I went to Japan. I remember they were prepping us, because it was a missions trip, so the missionaries there were kind of prepping us for this experience. We were going to be doing a VBS and an English camp and stuff, and they told us, you know, when you go see these kids, remember, in Japan, the percentage of Christians in Japan is so low, right? It's like 1% or less. So when you are ministering to these kids, or when you're playing with them, or when you're doing the English class or the VBS, we want you to see them as this child could potentially be the next pastor that leads a, you know, revival in Japan. This could be the person that brings all of these people to faith. So we want you to look at each one of those kids as this is what they could become. Mm. And so it's like, oh, okay, that really shaped how we interacted with them through the rest of the time. And so I think even in that, we might look at the kids at our church and say, like, could this be the next Pastor Barry? Could this be the next, you know, Pastor Sam, Pastor Russ? Could this be the next
children's director?
Yeah. And so, you know, I have an example of that, but I don't want to say the person's name. But, you know, there was a kid when I was growing up who was pretty squirrely, pretty independent, did his own thing, and now he's a senior pastor somewhere, right? And it's like, who would have thought that this person would have been a senior pastor at, you know, when we were late elementary, early, you know, teens? Like, nobody would have thought that. But the Lord saw something different in him, right? And so it kind of falls in line with what you're saying, Kyle. It's just, you know, just because that's who they are right now, that doesn't mean that's who the Lord has for them or is that's who they're going to be in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think this has been a good just reflection, discussion on us as a church, that we do have some intentionality about walking as multi-generational family, but I think the Lord has a lot more for us, and I think it's going to be exciting. It's going to be challenging because it's going to make us have to look at, this is how we've been doing it. Oh, but is this how God wants us to keep doing it? Do we need to shift certain things and emphasize different things? And that comes with, okay, I'm getting into the older crowd at church now. So I'm like, well, I'm kind of, am I set in my ways? And I'm happy with the way we're doing it. Do we, you know, so we're all going to have our own things that we might have to actually reflect on and maybe even lay some of them down. But I think it is the Lord's heart, because family is a huge part of the Bible. And that's what he emphasizes. And so I think as we step into that more and as he unlocks new things for us, I think we're going to be blown away, and I think it's going to be worth it, but it is going to come with its challenges. Like you said yesterday in your message, we are recording on a Monday. So it was yesterday that the enemy does like to separate us, and he wants us to say, oh, it's not worth it. It's too hard. But if God is leading us towards that, it's going to be something even better. So I'm excited for what's coming this year, especially a wholehearted surrender, living in the light, but doing it as a family.
You're excited about that?
Yes, I'm trying to pump myself up, right, right, Brad?
Yep.
I told you yesterday, Kyle, surrender is not culturally easy for some of us Japanese people, because we would rather commit suicide than surrender.
It's not easy for any person, man. especially when you're competitive too. So competitive by nature, it's not easy to give up and surrender. But I just want to kick it out to each of you one last time and say, is there anything else, any thoughts or closing things as we've shared today? Anything you're looking forward to? Anything you want to just reflect on?
I would say I've been really thankful to the youth. Recently, you've been diving into some of the concepts that even the rest of the church congregation is diving into. And I really think they're taking it in and really processing it and engaging with it. And so just to see that response, knowing that even though we have our own class on Sundays, we're still a part of that mm-hmm. same family.
Yeah.
And so for them to be able to chew on it and work through it has been really cool. And I think there's been some really good things that have come out of it. So I'm excited to see, as you know, the adult congregation, as we talked about the kids and children's ministry, and then also the youth, just all of us together, even if we're in quote unquote separate places during Sunday service, like, but then together moving forward, I'm really excited what that'll look like.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I just think about the moving pieces too, like children's ministry, all the staff, the elders, the members, like everyone I feel like has a part in blessing one another. Mm. And, you know, whether that means, you know, just pouring into the kids during Sunday, or, you know, you have a sense of, you know, you have to pray for someone, and, you know, just like going past that awkwardness mm-hmm. or that, you know, uncomfortable state of stepping out when God calls you to bless someone or do something, raising that bar and walking together as a church. I just kind of see just blessing each other and mm-hmm. just walking together as a family and what that looks like as we talk about like church, city on a hill, right? So, yeah, I'm just very blessed to be part of Catalyst and to see that, witness that, and experience that.
So I wanted to share a little bit of something that was a little difficult for me in message prep too, was that, you know, when you talk about family, it can be very easy to neglect a certain segment of our church, right? People that are in the singles category, right? It's very easy to for them to feel neglected. And so I think as I was prepping, I was like, I really need to be intentional about making it so that everybody feels included, because everybody is included in God's family, right? Everybody that's a believer is included in God's family. So I don't want any segments in our church to feel neglected during the sermon. And so just wanting to be very intentional about doing that. And so I was praying to the Lord. I was like, Lord, like, how do I make sure that I'm not excluding anybody? Because really that was part of the message, right? Is like, the enemy wants people to feel isolated and alone and separated from everybody else. So I don't want that. And I didn't get a chance to say this in the message, but I wanted to talk about it or at least share it on the podcast. But I felt like the Lord responded to me with that. And he said, a season of marriage is a blessing, but a season of singleness is a blessing too. Mm-hmm. And so whatever season you're in, he wants us to look at it as that, mm-hmm. as a blessing. So if you're in a season of marriage right now, he wants you to look at it as a blessing. If you're in a season of singleness right now, he wants you to receive that as a blessing. Because there's certain things as a single you can do that you can't do as a married person. There's certain things as a married person that you can do that you can't do as a single person. But each one he wants you to be able to receive as a blessing, because that's the season that he has you in right now. And so I didn't get a chance to share that in the message, but I really felt like that was something that he was placing in my heart to share, that whatever season you're in, he wants you to view it as a blessing, because he has you in that season to bless you.
It's good. Good word. Thanks for sharing that. So am I bringing us home today, or do I get to kick it back to you?
Well, I actually wanted to give Emily a chance to give a plug for something, because okay. she's working on a project right now, and I thought it'd be really cool for her to be able to share about her experience on working on this project. So would you
perfect.
Like to share?
So after she's done sharing, then
I'll gonna, then I'll wrap
I'm,
up.
I'll
wrap
a little
up.
Nervous
good job,
right
Kyle.
Now. I'm
good
a little
job,
nervous.
Kyle.
I'm like,
no, I'll wrap up. But yeah, I really appreciate Emily. She's been working with John on the video side of Catalyst Stories, and they're working on one right now, and I'm really excited about it. But she's just been doing an amazing job, and she's producing a lot of the media for our church right now. She just took over. And said she wants to commit to helping out with the church Instagram. And so
cool.
Hopefully we'll be getting a few more updates from Emily on the church Instagram. But yeah, I just wanted her to have a chance to share a little bit about this upcoming Catalyst Stories and what to expect.
Yeah, I feel like media, right? It's such a cool way to showcase certain things to a large audience, right? And when I first kind of started having this stirring in my heart to use my camera for video and photography to highlight God's testimony, it started within the church. And it's been such a blessing, because there are so many people that we meet every day or every week in church, and you just kind of know the surface, right? Like, you just kind of know a little bit about them, but then you hear their stories, right? And you get to really understand what God has been doing in their life. Currently or have done in the past. It's such a powerful story, and so many people within our church have awesome stories, and I'm like, you guys have to share this. This has to be known. So that was kind of my way of really wanting to launch Catalyst Stories with John, to highlight these amazing people within our church and share with others what God has been doing, and hopefully encourage them too. So yeah, right now we're filming a special guest. I don't know if I should announce it just yet, but look forward to it.
Tease them a little bit.
it's going to be really cool. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah, it's been on our hearts to highlight them, and it's been such a blessing for me. So yeah, I just can't wait to share with you guys. But yeah, just the fact that people have awesome stories, get to know them. You know, the story is just a little bit, a glimpse of, you know, what God has been doing. So after you see these videos, like, get to know them even more. They probably have more stories to share and, you know, awesome things. So yeah, it's been a really cool way for me to share God's testimony.
Do you have an idea of when that might be coming out?
I want to say hopefully within the next couple months.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I think it's really cool too with Catalyst Stories, is that I've seen people do that. Is that they see one of the videos, or they hear one of the testimonies on the podcast, and they come up to me and say, who's this person? I don't know who that person is, but I heard their story and I want to go talk to them about it. And so just exactly what you're saying, Emily, it's really been an opportunity for people at our church to get to know each other on a deeper level and even have kind of a jumping point for them to start a conversation with someone that they might not have ever talked to before. So just really appreciate you and your work on Catalyst Stories on the video side.
Yeah, I forgot to mention Brandon Hojo has been partnering with us too. Mm-hmm. So me, John, and Brandon, we've been working pretty hard to get this thing rolling, but it's exciting for all of us and we're so blessed.
And if any of our listeners don't know who Emily is, you can come see Damon at church and he can point her out to you so you can get to know Emily a little bit more.
Well, I think people got to know her a little bit more through this episode because, you know, just some of the stories that you were able to share just and your heart for your kids and your family, Emily, just it's so encouraging and so inspiring. And, you know, it's really exciting to see where they're going to be in a few years, you know, and just the opportunities that you've already given to them to, you know, hear the Lord's voice and bless other people or even the blessings that you've received because they're taking their faith to the real world too. And it's not just, you know, a head thing or a Sunday thing, but they're actually living it out in the real world. So I think that's really cool. So good job, Emily. Keep it up.
Oh, thank you.
And thanks again for coming on. And we really appreciate you. So yeah, thanks, Emily.
You're a natural.
I don't know about that, but I really enjoy talking with you guys. That's awesome. Good. Thanks.
So you are always welcome to come back. We'd love to have you back on again. And, you know, we like we always say, we love all of our listeners. So if any of you out there want to come on and be a guest, let us know. We'd love to have you come on. And we're always looking for more guests. So thanks again for listening. Thanks to Emily for coming on. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.